share it with kids. And Lord, you pursue us with your love. Lord, you change us by the power of the gospel, and you give us a new heart, God, and you make us new. And Lord, you bring us into your family, and all these things are just so precious to us because we love you, Lord, and we thank you for new life, that we can walk in the abundant life that Jesus has given to us. And so, God, this morning as we come to this time in your word, as a church, we want to pray that you would speak to us. God, if we don't allow you to speak to us this morning in the quietness of our own hearts, Lord, right now, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to say, Lord, would you speak to me this morning? Lord, would you open up your word? Would you illuminate it in my heart? And God, with the soil of my heart, be ready to receive what you have for me. God, you're good, and we proclaim that. And so, Lord, teach us your truths this morning. Lord, may we fall more in love with you because of what you have done for us. And may we be more committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Well, we're continuing our series. We've been talking about deepening your daily faith. And I would like this morning to start by putting a picture up on the screen for you. So I came across it this week, and I wanted you to take a look at that. If we could just maybe dim some of the lights up here just for a second so you get a better picture. It's a dark image, and I just want you to see that there. It's an image of sort of a light hanging there on a wall. You can see it. It's a brick wall there. The scripture verse, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And I want to show that to you this morning because they say a picture is worth a thousand words. And so I thought I'll just show that to you, and then that could be my sermon today, and then I'll sit down. I'm only kidding. But when you look at this picture for a second, does a picture like this, does it jog any memories in your mind of a time when maybe you were walking along at night with a very dim light in where you were going? Even though that light was dim, you know, maybe you remember it sure made you glad that you had that light there so you could see where you were going. I can remember as a kid many times my dad and I, we spent many summers in the Poconos fishing, and it was a good time for us. And I can remember we'd often be out late at night out on the dock. We'd be fishing for catfish and bass, and we'd be out there, and eventually it would be pitch black outside, and we'd be done fishing. So we'd walk back through the dock, and we'd walk through this narrow path up through the woods up to the cabin. And I can remember many times when it was only the dim light of the lantern, or maybe just a dim light of a yellow light bulb, you know, on the side of a cabin, guiding the way for us so that we could see. And it was that light that we had, even though it might have been dim, but it was the light that kept us from feeling blinded by the darkness that was around us. And so, think with me for a second, before we come into this passage. How valuable is it that you be able to see? How valuable is your sight? I want to read this passage this morning from Mark chapter 8, if you would. If you turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. And I want you to think about with me as we read this passage, how valuable is it that you be able to see? So here we find Jesus, and this is what happens next in the narrative of the Gospel of Mark, verse 22, chapter 8. The Bible says, then they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, they look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't go into the village. I asked you this morning as we kind of come into this passage, I want you to think about how valuable is it that you are able to see? Because in this text this morning, Jesus heals a blind man. He heals a blind man who couldn't see. And so this week as I was pouring over this text and spending time in prayer over it, I said, Lord, would you help me to identify with what it might have been like for this man? Would you show me, would you help me to identify? And so as I was sitting out on my back porch this morning or this week and just reflecting on this passage and spending time and just praying to the Lord sort of, he said to me, well, Jeremy, just go ahead and close your eyes. Just close your eyes for a minute and sit there and just sort of absorb this. And so I thought we'd have a little bit of fun this morning. I'm not, we're not going to do anything new agey, but I just want to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, if you would just go ahead and just sort of close your eyes for a second. I just want you to picture, try and identify with the life of this man. I just want to ask you a few questions. So if your eyes are closed this morning for a minute, as you're sitting there in the quietness of the room, imagine for a moment the implications of living in darkness. Not being able to see the things around you. I know for some of us in our congregation, you've already experienced this blindness, and it's a reality for you. But for the rest of us, I want you to imagine for a second if this was your life. Imagine for a moment if in this condition, I asked you now to get up and to go home. Imagine the challenges that you might have. Imagine what that would be like. Think about how not being able to see the truth of what is around you would impact your life. Now imagine if I asked you to get up and to go to the Pittsburgh airport. What would that be like? Would it be hard to navigate through life if you couldn't see? Now think about for a second what it would be like to not be able to see anybody around you. You know, do you feel a sense of aloneness? Now, it's interesting, you know, Jesus touched this man, so if you take your hand, if you gently place it on your shoulder, just try and imagine what it would have been like for Jesus to put his hands on this man when he was blind, when he was going to heal him from his blindness. Is your sense of touch, is it heightened on your shoulder because you can't see? And how might the love of God have been communicated to this man by Jesus touching him? You can go ahead and open your eyes. Think about this. Try and place yourself into this story for a minute. This is a unique story in the Gospel of Mark because Mark is the only one who records this story for us. It's also unique because it's the only miracle that Jesus did where he didn't heal a person the first time immediately. In this case, the healing was a process. It wasn't that Jesus failed the first time. It wasn't that Jesus couldn't come through or that he wasn't capable. The question is what is the significance of the healing being a process? What is God possibly trying to say to us out of the text? So we know Mark is a gospel. The whole point of the four gospels is to bring a person to the point of faith and believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we are people who need a Savior, that Jesus came to restore our broken relationship with God. And if you look, think with me for a second, if you read through the narrative up to this point, from chapter 1 up till now as we've been going through it, we can ask ourselves a question. Who has a clear understanding of who Jesus is? Who has a clear understanding of who Jesus is? Do his disciples have a clear understanding? They don't. Now, if we remember last week, we read that even Jesus was saying to them, just last week in our passage, he said, do you still not, keyword here, see? He said, do you still not see? Do you still not understand? Do you have eyes but fail to see? It's okay. If we want to turn on that second light, row of lights back there, we can go ahead and do that. Do the Pharisees, do they see? Do they understand? I mean, definitely not. What about the Sadducees? They don't understand. We talked about the Sanhedrin. They don't understand. The masses of the people in general, no, they don't clearly see who Jesus is. What we do see is we see that God the Father understands who Jesus is. Remember when Jesus was baptized and God spoke from heaven, he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So we know that God the Father knows who Jesus is. And we know from reading the narrative that the demons, they understand clearly who Jesus is. They, whenever someone was demon-possessed and Jesus came to confront them and to heal that person, they understood who Jesus was. And outside of that, only a few other people in the story who come to Jesus in faith seem to indicate that they have any really kind of understanding who he is. So as we read this, we get this idea, like trying to figure out what's going on. The disciples are an example for us up to this point, that they're not really perceiving and they're not really understanding that Jesus is God among them and how much they really need him. There's a spiritual blindness. And I want you to think about that for a minute. There's a spiritual blindness in them that's keeping them from seeing all that Jesus is. Did you always understand who Jesus was and how much you needed him? You know, some of us would say, no, I didn't always understand, but now I do. And others of us would say, I'm still trying to figure him out. I'm not really sure exactly what I believe about him. So then really, what's the point of this text? In studying this passage, almost all biblical scholars believe that the point of this story is that God intended it to be a metaphor. He intended it to be a metaphor, to be a picture for us of that God is the only one who can remove spiritual blindness from our lives. God is the only one who can remove spiritual blindness from our lives. And so the entire message of the story about the disciples up to this point is that they're not really seeing Jesus very clearly, but there's a change that's about to happen. Stick with me here. There's a change that's about to happen. Right after Jesus challenges his guys, as we read last week, about their blindness, he goes to a man who's actually blind. And he's going to heal this man, and he's going to give him physical sight for them to see and observe. And he's saying to them, I'm the one who heals blindness, both physically and spiritually. It's the message that Jesus is communicating here. And in these verses we read last week, the disciples are dealing with blindness. And now in these verses, Jesus heals a man from blindness. And in next week, we see Jesus asking his disciples, he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, next week we're going to look at, he says, you are the Christ. And the spiritual blindness is removed. And in a Matthew account, Jesus says to Peter, he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And that's important. Jesus said to him, this wasn't revealed to you by man, this understanding that Jesus is the Christ. He said, but it was my Father in heaven who revealed this to you. So I wanted to ask you a question. What do you do when your path in life seems dark and following God seems unclear? What do we do? Or what about the point in your life, maybe you can remember, or in my life, when we weren't seeking after God at all? Is God doing anything behind the scenes to bring people out of spiritual darkness and to save them? And I believe that where we are this morning in this book, as we're studying it, God wants to say to us this morning, exercise faith when things are still blurry. Exercise faith when things are still blurry. We'll say, what do I mean by that? Let me explain. I think there's three really good questions that we want to talk about this morning as understanding this text. The first question is this, is we could ask, so why is Jesus ever even blurry to us? Why is Jesus ever even blurry to us in the first place? I mean, how comes we don't just come, you know, out of the womb just always loving God and always obeying God and having a passion for him in our hearts? Why is that? Like the disciples here, I can remember a time in my life when Jesus was not clear to me. And for some of you, you can too. A little bit of my story, I remember I grew up going to church, but that didn't make me believe. I was there every Sunday, but in my heart, I didn't really care who Jesus was. I mean, he didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. I was into me. Jeremy was into Jeremy. My life, my friends, having a girlfriend, doing my life, just living my life. And, you know, Jesus held no precious value in my life whatsoever. People would talk to me about him. They would tell me that, you know, he died on a cross for my sins, and I'm like, that's great, nice story, whatever. Well, why was I that way? Spiritual blindness. It was a spiritual blindness. God's word explains that it was a spiritual blindness, and it was the total depravity of my heart towards God. And when we are this way in life, seeing Jesus of any value to us, that we need him, we just don't get it. We just don't get it. And I want to talk about this morning because this is important. I want to share some things with you about how the Bible describes, and the theologians have sort of explained to us how the Bible describes how sin has had an impact on us. And I don't share this. This isn't meant to be depressing, but if we're going to truly value Jesus, and if we're really going to love him with all of our hearts, and if we're really going to get to that place where we're like, man, the gospel has changed my life, and God, your love has changed my life, it's important that we also understand to see what it is that God has rescued us out of. What has he saved us from? And so it's because of the effects the Bible teaches what happened in the Garden of Eden and the fall of man, much like that rap song was trying to communicate this morning. Sin messed everything up, all right? And it had its effect on all of humanity. And theologians have looked at this and they've described it as it's the total depravity. What does that mean? It's the idea that because of the fall, because of what happened many years ago with Adam and Eve in the garden, every part of man, your mind, your emotions, your will, your flesh, it's all been corrupted by sin. Sin's effects all areas of our being, including who we are and what we do. It penetrates to the very core of our being so that everything is tainted by sin. So look at the scriptures, and that's why Isaiah writes, he says, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags before a holy God, Isaiah 64:6. We sin and we reject God because we're sinners by nature. So let's develop this a little bit further from the Bible, because this explains why Jesus is ever even blurry to us in the first place until we come to understand him and know him by faith. This is what the Bible says. We'll put some of these things up here on the screen for us this morning. The Bible tells us that teaches us that man's heart is deceitful and it's just desperately wicked. In Jeremiah, man is born dead in transgression and in sin, Psalm 51 and Ephesians 2. Because a person's spirit towards God is dead in his transgressions and sins, God tells us that he is held captive by a love for sin, so that he will not seek God because he loves darkness and does not understand the things of God. Therefore, people suppress the truth of God. What's the result? Well, the result is that people suppress the truth of God continually to willfully live in our sin, rejecting God in our hearts, Romans. Because people are totally depraved of the sinful lifestyle, and Proverbs tells us that it seems right to a man. It seems right to us. And then what happens is we reject the gospel of Christ as foolishness, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the Bible teaches that our minds are hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, nor is it unable to do so. It doesn't mean that we can't do good things. It doesn't mean that we don't have a good heart to do things. We're created in the image of God. Those things are still there, but at its core, right, it does not want to subject itself to the law of God, and nor is it able to completely do so. And so therefore, apart from the grace of God intervening into a person's life, no man seeks after God, Romans chapter 3 tells us. So why was Jesus ever blurry to me in my life? I mean, why did I ever not love him from the beginning, or you, and to have a heart for the Lord and to long to have a relationship with him? It's because what the gospel is trying to teach us right now is because of the spiritual blindness. We've all been there. But the beauty is, church, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ offers us so much hope. The gospel offers all of us so much hope. It tells us and it reminds us of the grace of God and that the love of God pursues you. And the love of God pursues us in our life. God sees us in our spiritual blindness. He sees us in the condition of our hearts. In the power of the Holy Spirit, God is able to open the eyes of your heart. And he's able to remove the blindness so that you will know and you will love Jesus and you will want to give your life to him and you will experience his love. Well, so the second question is, well, how does God do this? How does God bring us to faith? How does God peel back the spiritual blindness so that I will see God clearly? Well, the process of irresistible grace awakens me out of my blindness. If you look here at this story, Mark today, he illustrates that a blind man, I mean, can a blind man make himself unblind? He can't. A blind man cannot make himself unblind. He can't give himself his own sight back. It's only a work of God to perform such a miraculous change in a person's life. In the same way, the Bible teaches that I cannot change the condition of my own heart towards God. The grace of God has to intervene. A dead man cannot raise himself. He must be raised by God, just as Lazarus was raised by God. And if you look with me at the beauty of this story as we read it, there's some awesome things in here. Jesus takes this man by the hand. It's personal. He takes this man by the hand, and he leads him outside of the village. Now think about that. He grabs this man by the hand, and he leads him outside the village. I believe that this is a picture of the way that God speaks to us directly, and the Holy Spirit gets with us one-on-one, and God reveals to us that he is a personal God, that he cares about us. Notice how God begins to restore this man's sight. He does it with a physical touch so that this man, this blind man, will know that Jesus is there and that Jesus is working on his life. And for those of us who know Christ, you have a relationship with him by faith, you can possibly remember all of the little touches that God has done in your life along the way, right? Before you came to faith, the things that God did in your life to pull you and to tug you and to begin to draw you to himself. And so Jesus asked this man, he says, "Do you see anything? Do you see anything?" And the man sees people walking around like trees, but his vision isn't fully clear. And can you recall a time in your life when the things of God seemed somewhat understandable to you, but maybe they didn't really make complete sense? Remember those times? You know, you were like this man. You saw some things, but at the same time, things were still a little bit blurry. And maybe there were people in your life who were saying things like, "Do you see anything yet? You know, don't you believe? Don't you see it?" And you're kind of like, "Well, yeah, maybe, sort of, but not totally." And once more, Jesus puts his hands on this man's eyes, and they were open. The Bible says that his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. It's likely that God chose to use a process here to illustrate for us two things that we would learn. Number one is that God is the one who initiates and does the work of opening the eyes of your heart from spiritual blindness so that you will be able to see clearly. And number two, That way in which God works in your life and in my life to bring us to him is a beautiful, you know, before salvation, it's a beautiful yet mysterious process of his grace in our lives. You know, we could have many of you come up here this morning and you could tell your story, because so many of you, you have your own story, unique story of how you came to faith in Christ and how God peeled back the layers so that you would understand. And it's everybody has their own journey. You know, sometimes it's a child who comes to him at an early age. You know, and other times it's someone comes to faith in Christ as a teenager and they look back and see how they were rejecting Christ as a child. And other times, right, it's you come to faith as an adult. Some of you are here this morning. You have your story of coming to faith in Christ as an adult. And, you know, for so many years you had no care for Christ. You had no understanding of his love, no understanding of God pursuing you. But along the way, God was using the events of your life and the things around you. The Spirit was speaking and drawing and bringing you to the point of belief. And at some point, God opened up your eyes and so that you would understand. And this is a beautiful thing. And so John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, not children born of natural descent, nor of a human's decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." You know, when I was spiritually dead in my sins, it was God, the Bible says, it was God who made me alive. It was God who helped me understand by the process of regeneration and giving me a new heart. This is what the Bible teaches. It's that when the Bible says you must be born again, it's that's what regeneration is. It's a new birth. It's God doing a spiritual work in your life to open your eyes, to bring you to faith. It was a work of God. And I can tell you, I remember the night God's grace broke into my heart. I've shared this story with you here before on some levels, but I can remember when I experienced the irresistible grace of God drawing me to himself. I was headed to youth group one night with a bunch of my friends, and really I had no thought of God in my mind, none whatsoever. I wasn't going to church to worship God. I didn't even really care to worship God. Just wanted to go have a good time, and our church was having a big worship service that night. They brought in an evangelistic preacher, and so we're all in the worship center, the sanctuary, and he's preaching, and I'm sitting there, and I'm partly listening, and I'm partly goofing around with my buddies, and you know, I'm in seventh grade. And at that moment when the preacher asks us, he says, would you know that if you died tonight, would you know that you would go to heaven? And what happened is a student behind me, he taps me on the shoulder, and he says, "Hey, Jeremy," he says, "if your friend who came with you tonight," he says, if he wants to go make a decision for Christ tonight, he says, I'll go with you. I'll go down the front of church," and you know, that's what they were doing back in that day, and you know, go forward. And in that moment, I remember the irresistible grace of God awoke my heart, and the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, "Jeremy," he said, "you know," he said, "you know that you're not even saved yet." He said, "You know, you haven't placed your faith in me yet as your Savior, and you've been pushing me away." And in that moment, God took the spiritual blinders off my heart, and he opened my eyes, and he enabled me to believe, and he gave me faith. And God changed me from being spiritually blind and having faith to having a heart for Christ. It was amazing, and God pointed out to me that I understood I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior, and that Jesus came, he loved me, he did that for me. The Bible puts it this way also. It says, "But when the kindness and the love of God appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy." But because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth. This is that regeneration. It's the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so here, church, I want you to see what's happening here in this passage. This is a beautiful, amazing thing. That at one point, here we are, spiritually blind, not able to understand the love of God, not able to understand how God is pursuing us, not able to understand the gospel, not able to understand that I'm a sinner and need to be saved. It doesn't click. I don't get it. And then here, Jesus takes this blind man and he heals this blind man physically as a metaphor and as a picture to say, "I'm the one that takes off the spiritual blinders out of your life. I'm the one that does this." And so here in Mark 8, he gives sight to this blind man. And he's going to do the same thing in the lives of the disciples. And he's going to give them sight and give them understanding. And God is still in the business of doing the same thing today. God is in the business of changing people's lives and giving them faith and helping them understand. And so the question then is, this third is, what should you and I do every day? What should you and I do every day? Now, I think uniquely for us, we have the privilege of living in the day and age that we do, we can open the Bible and look back and read the whole story. And we can read it and we can see it. And so one of the things I want to say to you is exercise faith even when things are still blurry. Exercise faith even when things are still blurry. So, for example, are you here this morning and maybe there's some area in your life where you're just trying to figure God out and things are still pretty blurry? Well, this passage teaches us that we need to continue to go to God and let God be the one to remove the spiritual blinders from us when things are blurry, when we're wrestling with things. Because this is what God does. Guys, this is what God does. God removes the spiritual blinders when we're spiritually blind. And if you're here this morning, and you know, if you're still investigating Christianity on some level, and you're still thinking about Jesus and still wrestling and trying to figure out whether or not he's truly Lord, and if you should give your life to him, first thing I want to say to you is I want to say, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here at this church. We welcome you here at this church with your struggles and with your questions, because we've all had them. We've all had them, and we want to help you along on your journey. And I want to encourage you not to give up in your pursuit of truth. There's a really amazing principle from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, that if we seek after God with all of our heart, we will find him. This is what this verse says. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. And if you're here this morning, if you're just still seeking, I just want to say to you, God is sovereignly over the events of your life. He loves you. And if there's a desire in your heart to know more of him, God put that desire there. God put that desire there. Even if things right now seem a little bit blurry, even if like you're looking around and like this guy, he says, I see men who look like trees. If that's where you're at this morning, I want to encourage you, exercise faith, even when things seem a little bit blurry. Because in my experience, I can tell you that God is doing a work in your life, and you want to follow that out to the end. You want to follow that out to the end. For the rest of us, maybe you've known Christ now for many years, let's be honest, guys, right? There's still going to be times in our life when things seem a little bit blurry. You know, sometimes the way forward with God still seems a little bit blurry. And I want you to think this morning, if you would, think of what's the first thing that comes to your mind right now in your life where things are blurry and you need God to bring some of his clarity to your life. Whatever that spiritual blindness might be that maybe we're experiencing, God invites us to come to him. He invites you to come to him. God's word says in James chapter 1 verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what do? He should ask God, and who generously gives to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Whatever that thing is, I want to encourage you this morning, go to God's word, spend time with God in prayer, get alone with Jesus who loves you, and ask him to show you what he's doing in your situation. Let the wisdom of the scriptures and the Holy Spirit of God speak into your life. I just want to close this morning with sharing this quote with you this morning. He was one of the early church fathers, and his name was Augustine. And he wrote an autobiographical work consisting of 13 books. It was written in Latin. And in it, he sort of just described his journey from when he was a young man and when he didn't know the Lord, he didn't love the Lord, to the point of his conversion and what happened in his life afterwards. And I love this, and I just want to share with you this morning, because I think it's very much a picture of what Jesus is trying to say to his disciples and to us as we read the Gospel of Mark this morning. This is what he wrote. He said, "Late have I loved you, beauty so old and so new. Late have I loved you. And see, you were within, and I was in the external world and sought you there. And in my unlovely state, I plunged into those lovely created things which you made. You were with me, and I was not with you. The lovely things kept me far from you, though if they did not have their existence in you, they had no existence at all. You called and cried out loud and shattered my deafness. You were radiant and resplendent. You put flight to my blindness. You were fragrant, and I drew in my breath and now pant after you. I tasted you, and I feel but hunger and thirst for you. You touched me, and I am set on fire to attain the peace which is yours." Wouldn't that be awesome if that was the passion of our hearts this morning? And I want to encourage you, I want to remind you that even when you don't realize it, if there's spiritual blindness in your life, or maybe you can identify it, God, his Spirit is working to draw you to himself. And I want to encourage you to exercise faith and continue to go there. Exercise faith. Pursue him with all of your heart, with all of your might. And let God peel back those spiritual blindness. He does it to the point where he brings us to faith that we will understand. And I think he does it even afterwards, because when you look at the Bible, as we continue to read here through the book of Mark and we study it a little bit, we're going to see Peter making this amazing, you know, profession of faith. Yes, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, no man revealed that to you. It was my Father. But then Peter doesn't live it out perfectly from that point on, does he? He still makes mistakes. And Jesus at one point has to say, get behind me, Satan. Right? That's not God's will. And Peter's up and down and up and down. Jesus handles our spiritual blindness. So I want to encourage you, exercise faith, even when things are still blurry. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for speaking to us this morning from your word. God, Jesus, thank you for showing us in a real physical, tangible way that you are the one that handles the spiritual blindness that we were born with. And God, your love is so great. And Lord, when we just sit in your presence and we spend time with you and your word and we allow you to show us who you are, God, we can't help but sit back and give you praise. We can't help but sit back and realize that we were created to know you. God, everything inside of us cries out for worship. And we're created to worship you. We're created to know you. And so, God, would you, by your Spirit, would you continue to nudge us, and would you push us, and would you draw us closer to yourself this morning? God, whatever area of spiritual blindness there might be this morning for anybody in this room, God, would you be mighty? Would you be strong? Would you be powerful? Would you step in? Would you remove that? And would you replace it with yourself? Would you replace it with your life? God, you do this because you love us, and you're calling and drawing men and women and children to yourself. God, thank you. Lord, may this instill in us just this overwhelming desire of praise and worship and thanks. Lord, that you have given us new life. Thank you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.